Okay, in this week's parasha, we have the zechut of finishing Sefer Vayikra. And so far, through three-fifths of the Torah, we have learned Breishit, B'nai Yisrael, as individuals, earning the Brit, keeping the Brit with Hashem, setting the stage for the nation and nationhood. We had Shemot, where the individuals turned into a people through Shiabud Mitzrayim, through Yitziat Mitzrayim. This nation begins a relationship with God. The relationship with God includes receiving the Torah, a job, a mandate that we've got as a nation. We are told to build a Mishkan in Sefer Shemot, and how to serve God, and where to serve God, I should say, the focal point of our avodah, and of course, more or less, which I'm going to say that, talk about that in a moment, more or less, Sefer Vayikra is the focus of that avodah, how we are supposed to serve Hashem. And it would have been really nice if I had written the Torah. I would have ended the Torah in a very neat, clean way. If you have a Tanakh in front of you, you can take a look. I would have finished the Torah at the end of the Tochacha. Right? The end of this Sefer and the end of Parshat Bechukotai. The Torah tells us, Chas v'shalom, what's going to happen if you don't listen to Hashem. He tells us what happens if you do listen to Hashem. In Bechukotai Teilechu. And then at the end of this very painful tochacha, which no one likes to hear, but all of us must hear, at the end of that tochacha, I would have ended the Torah right here. Perek Chavav, the end of Perek Chavav. V'zacharti lahem brit rishonim, asher otzeiti otam me'eretz Mitzrayim le'nei agoyim, liyot lahem le'elohim, ani Hashem. Eile hachukim v'amishpatim v'atorot asher natan Hashem beino. Uvein b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai b'yad Moshe. And nice, neat bow tied up on Sefer Vayikra. This is the way you serve Hashem. This is what happens if you don't. This is what happens if you do. End of story. However, the Torah doesn't end there. The Torah has one more perek. And that perek, Perek of Zayin, goes into a seemingly unrelated set of topics, which we call erchin or arachin, and they are the valuation of things or people in terms of their dedication to God. So we have, for example, in Psukim Aleph through Chet, Ish ki yafli neder be'erkecha nefashot l'Hashem, that's the valuation of people. If I want to donate a certain value to the Mikdash, we have Psukim Tet through Tet Vav, and then again, Chaf Vav and Chaf Zayin, the valuation of animals to the Mikdash, and what happens, and how do I buy them, and the money goes to the Mikdash. V'im behema asher yakrivu mimenu korban Hashem. That's in Pasuk Tet. Then we have from Tet Zayin to Chaf Hei, the valuation of houses, the valuation of fields. If I want to, again, v'im misdei achuzato yakdish ish l'Hashem, what are the rules of dedicating and valuing that to the Mikdash? We have Chaf Chet and Chaf Tet about Cheirem, Ach Kol Cheirem Asher Yacharim, and Lamed to Lamed Gimel, we talk about Maser Behema, V'chol Maser Haaretz, Mizera Haaretz, or V'chol Maser Bakar Batzon. And so what I'd like to ask in general is, why does the Torah end Sefer Vayikra like this? And more specifically, the erchin of people, we're going to focus a little bit more on that. But the general question is, why would the Torah end here? It's so nice and neat to end at the end of Perek Chavav. Makes a lot of sense. And you have to know that many, many, many mefarshim, give answers to this very simple question. It's a very obvious question. What do I need Erchin for? What do I need to talk about the valuations and how rare and how often does it happen? If you want to donate $100, donate $100. Donate the value of this specific person and how old is he and how old is she, male, female. Why would I need that? And there's many answers. Some of them we're going to do inside. The first two I'm going to say outside. because I really am trying to, I wanted to bring a couple answers that I think could have messages for you and certainly for me. The first answer, though, is the Ramban. I didn't put it in here, but the Ramban answers very simply that the Tochacha is a direct response to Shemitah and Yovel, or the dereliction of observance of Shemitah and Yovel, or the opposite, if I'm faithful and I keep the Shemitah and Yovel properly. And so therefore, the Arachin, which are still part of Vayikra, and I have to donate to the Mikdash, of course, but I didn't want to interrupt the flow of Shemitah, Yovel, and this is what you'll get if you keep them, this is what you get if you don't keep them, and Arachin also. The Ramban, maybe I would say, is a little bit more of a technical response. It's certainly true. The second answer, we'll do the others a little bit more slowly, but the second answer comes from the Sforno. Again, on the more technical side, the Sforno says that Perek Chav Zayin, which I just summarized, Perek Chav Zayin, the Erchin, was also given on Har Sinai, but they were given after Chav Hei and Chav Vav. They were given after the Brit was sealed. And therefore, the Arachin in Perek Chav Zayin are included in the section of mitzvot commanded on Har Sinai, but given after the Tochacha, to share with us the difference between mitzvot that were given with the Brit, through the Brit, and other mitzvot. And that's why the whole Parsha ends of Zayin, Eile ha-mitzvot asher tziva Hashem et Moshe el b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai. Certainly, Arachin were given at Har Sinai. However, it's not, Chav Zayin does not end with the language that we have at the end of Chav Vav, which is V'zacharti lahem brit rishonim. So the Sforno distinguishes, they're all in Har Sinai, distinguishes between Chav Hei and Chav Vav, given with a brit with Hashem, part of a deal, a covenant, a contract, and Chav Zayin given on Har Sinai, but not part of that brit. That's the Sforno. So those are the first two answers. I wanted to share them with you. I didn't want to skip over them. There's many answers. The Abarbanel gives an answer, and the many answers. I want to share with you a few more answers, which might, I think, have a little bit, might help us a little bit more. The third answer is the Balaturim, Rav Yaakov ben Asher. He's the son of the Rush, and he died in the middle of the 13th century. But it said to me a little bit more clearly by the Kli Yakar, Rav Chaim of Lunshitz. Rav Chaim of Lunshitz died in the beginning of the 17th century. So even though he lived 500 years later than the Balaturim, but I think it's a little bit more clear, so I printed the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar, at the very end of Sefer Vayikra, says the following. Samach Parsha Zu Liklalot. Why did Arachin come here? Klalot, I'm on line one, Klalot of the Tochacha, and then the Arachin, Lomar. She Yisrael no dream be'eit Sara ki Yaakov. B'nei Yisrael are really good at donating be'eit Sara, like Yaakov. Shehaya noder be'eit Sara litein ma'asar mikol. When did he do that? What was that? What's that story? When did Yaakov? Yafemod. When Yaakov is running away from Esav, Yaakov promises, beautiful, I'm in trouble, God forbid, I donate money. Aval! We do mimic Yaakov like that. Aval, I'm on line two in the beginning. Lo ke Yaakov mikol vakol. We're not identical to Yaakov. Ki Yaakov gam achar she'avra hatzara lo sar min haderech hatov. Yaakov donated money when he was in trouble, but he also donated things, money, when he wasn't in trouble. Aval ledorot zed darkam kesel lamo. But ledorot, we act very foolishly. Shin no dream be'eit sarah. We do donate. We all, oh God, I promise. And by the way, we may not only be talking money here. Oh God, if you get me out of this mess, I promise, I promise. Uba'avur sufat tzara v'tzuka. When the storm and the trouble and the crisis passes, hem mitchartim v'shavim l'suram. I promise, I don't mean to promise, I shouldn't have promised. I said I was never going to say, okay, but I can change. Al kein samach parshat ki yafli. That's the beginning of Chav Zayin of Erchin. Le parshat tochecha. V'diber hakatuv behove. Aval kol ma she'adam oseh belo hechrech meratzon zeh unikra yom ratzon l'Hashem v'yafek ratzon me'Hashem. Says the Kli Yakar, Erchin is all about donations. And we're going to see it a little more clearly in the next answer. Erchin's all about donations, voluntary donations. And we mimic Yaakov very well when we're in trouble. We've all been in certain situations, some of us worse than others, chas v'shalom, an accident, maybe a scary place, a little turbulence is a little bit too much. And we all know how to daven to Hashem, and we all know how to make certain commitments. And all of a sudden, by the time the tzara passes, whatever happened to God, yeah, but I was, come on, God understands that I was. Imagine if, Baruch Hashem, we're all sitting here, we're all well. Everything's going well with us. We're all feeling good. We're in the Beit Midrash. We're in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, learning beautiful Torah. How about now, a commitment? Oh, I feel like that's, says the Kli Yakar at the end, a very beautiful thing. Now, I do want to share one personal anecdote to explain how I understand this Kli Yakar. In order to understand it, I've got to tell you a quick personal story. When I was younger, I had a friend grew up with, went to high school with him. I went to Shalvim. He went to another yeshiva, also a tremendous yeshiva. And he went to America. I stayed in Israel a couple of years. And I, just very briefly, you have to know before cell phones, of course, and you've heard all the, when I was your age, but it's true, before there were cell phones, communication on a immediate basis is very was uncommon, very hard. If you wanted to speak to your parents, they had to call a payphone. You had to arrange ahead of time. And in my specific case, you know, I spoke to my parents relatively often, and I think it was once every 2 weeks. That's called relatively often. And I remember once sitting in a shir in Chalvim, door opens up. Where's Yamin? Is Yamin Goldsmith here? I look up. Phone call from America. I said, oh my God. You know, if I'm getting a call in the middle of Shir, either somebody got engaged or somebody died, and I don't know anybody who's dating anybody, so I ran, you know, run all the way to the payphone, which the payphone was where we ate our meals on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. That where the payphone was. Running, pick up the phone. Hello, Rami? There was a guy in my year called Rami Goldsmith, and I'm Yamin Goldsmith. And I said, hold on a second. And I ran back and got him. Okay, that's not part of the story. But anyway, he lives in Ranana now. Anyway, that's not the story. But I did get a call out of nowhere from my aunt. She should live and be well. And she wanted me to know that this friend that I went to high school with was diagnosed with a very bad illness. Very bad illness. And it really, really shook me, and I hung up the phone, and I remember just being really distraught and very, very pained, a very close friend of mine. And I ended up, davening much harder, certainly, and focusing better. And I finally felt a little bit odd, similar to the Kli Yakar. God knows more than me. And the only reason why I'm davening harder now is because my friend is sick. And I went to my Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Meir Schlesinger, should live and be well. He's the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Shalvim. He's not there anymore. And I asked him, straight out. I said, friend was diagnosed, disease, and it's really looking bad. And I'm davening stronger. This is good. Yeah, but I'm only davening harder because I'm in an Eitz Sarah, which is exactly what the Kli Yakar says. He quoted me a medrash based on a pasuk. I still remember. It really is ingrained in me. So the pasuk was when Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim. So they have in front of them the Yam Suf and in back of them the Mitzrim. And the Torah says, Ufaro hikriv. Now, when we translate that into English, it's Paro got closer. But that's not what it really means. That would have been Ufaro karav. What's the pasuk? Ufaro hikriv. Hikriv, he feel, he brought closer. So you said, brought himself closer. That's Rashi. But the Medrash says, Ufaro hikriv, Paro's coming to Bnei Yisrael brought more Baalei Tshuva in 1 minute than Yechezkel ben Buzi in his whole life. So I said, that's exactly this. There's a Paro coming my way. There's a disease. And his answer was, and I don't remember if he quoted the Kli Yakar, the answer is what God, yes, he does sometimes, Chas v'chalila, send us reminders that he's around. The trick is not to daven harder when you're Be'et Sara. The trick is not to commit yourself harder. The trick is to keep going after that. And that's the Kli Yakar. Of course, there's nothing wrong. If anything, the opposite. It's the way it's supposed to be when you're Be'et Sara. That's the Tochacha. But the trick is, even when the Tochacha's done, Perichav Zayin, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I'm going to give money to Beit HaMikdash, daven a little bit harder, speak no Lashon Hara, eat foods that are whatever, kosher, etc., etc., make bracha better. All the things that you focus on, the trick is not during the Tochacha, the trick is not during the Eitzara, the trick is after, and that's a lesson that you and I can all learn from, I can learn from at least. That is answer number 3. Answer number 4 is Rav Hirsch. Can't beat Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch, I was going to summarize it, and then I said, why should I summarize it when his words are better than mine? It wasn't written in Hebrew, it wasn't written in English, it was written in German, so I don't mind quoting the English here, and here it goes. Now, very beginning of Perek HaZayin, now follows as the concluding chapter, a chapter dealing with the possibility of free-willed gifts to the sanctuary. It tells how the case is to be treated when somebody feels the necessity or cherishes the wish to present an object or its value to the sanctuary to express thereby his special interest in the sanctuary or his idea that the object in question has some special relation to the sanctuary. That's a summary of gifts to the Mikdash, certainly in Chav Zayin. All such endowments or gifts are expressed as hafla'at neder, ki yafli neder, as something not demanded by the Torah, not originating from any of the demands of the Torah, but purely as an act directed by one's own feelings and wishes. It is extremely significant, says Rav Hirsch, that this chapter on gifts to the temple is quite clearly, by its position in the book, only to be taken as an additional supplementary concluding chapter, and definitely does not belong to the Chukim, Mishpatim, V'Torot, which God has set as the condition, Beino Uvein B'nei Yisrael, the fulfillment of which results in the whole abundance of blessing, and their non-fulfillment in the whole unspeakable misery depicted in the previous chapter. A person is chas v'shalom punished, this is me talking now, a person is chas v'shalom punished when they don't keep the laws of the Torah, and a person is emir tzashem rewarded when they do. That's chavav. Aleph through chavav. Chav zayin is something else. These laws, I'm back in the Rav Hirsch, these laws concerning endowments and gifts to the temple are strikingly separated from them, and that tells us the not insignificant fact. The Jewish Torat Kohanim, the Jewish Codex of the Laws of the Priests, Sefer Vayikra, declares temple endowments and vows of gifts as being not such specially pious, God-pleasing acts. And least of all, does it ascribe to them the slightest value as atonement for leading a sinful life. Not in gaining riches or possessions, but in gaining souls and hearts, in gaining lives of individuals and the national life of the fulfillment of the Chukim, Mishpatim, and Torot, does the Jewish priesthood of the sanctuary see its task and mission. Its members point to, quote, sanctification of morals and of the life of the senses. Chukim. 2. Justice, truth, and right dealing in social life. Mishpatim. And clarity of thought and ennoblement of the heart. Torot. As the one means of obtaining grace. As the one and only way. Which, Beino Uvein B'nei Israel, joins men to God and God to men. It's beautiful. We can look at this on two levels. First of all, on the level that Rav Hirsch is talking about. You want to donate money to a building? Be my guest. Beautiful. Want to donate the money to Shalvim for Women? Even more so, be my guest. You want to donate big buildings with your name on the side? Gorgeous. Gewaldig. Don't confuse that with serving God. Don't confuse that with enriching yourself, heart and mind, spirit, getting closer to God. And certainly, don't confuse that with kapara in general and atonement for things we've done wrong. That's Rav Hirsch, 19th century. I can be a rotten person, terrible person if I want to, but hey, I'm a big supporter of so-and-so. Chas v'shalom, that's a very nice thing in conjunction with the first 26 chapters of Vayikra. Then we get to 27. Don't confuse the two. That's Rav Hirsch in his context, and it's a beautiful, I think, very important answer. I think that we can also bring it into the 21st century. And that is, there are so many people, you know them, and I know them, who are so makbid on certain extras and forget, chas v'shalom, the basics. There's only 613 mitzvot, and that's what you need to do. God told you what to do. He told you how to do it. He made us this world, and packaged in this world is an instruction manual. You want to know how to operate this world, succeed in this world, read the manual. If I ever were to buy an iPhone, and in there was is a instruction manual, which nobody reads besides me, I think they print them for me. Mm-hmm. I'm the only person who reads them. That's fine. They'll teach me how to use it. But how silly would I be when I buy my iPhone to read the instruction manual on my microwave? And that's what this is. You want to do more? That's beautiful. Do more. You can't do, but don't baltosif. You don't do more mitzvot. There's no such thing as five parshiot in your tefillin. There's no such thing as five tzitzis on your clothes. No such thing. But you want to do extra. You want to give of yourself. There's money you feel like you need to. Beautiful. But don't confuse. You can't buy off your tahara. You can't buy off your kapara. You can't buy off your avoda. You cannot buy off your dveikut Hashem. And sometimes we forget that. And that's Rav Hirsch. That's answer number 4 that we're sharing tonight. There's many answers. I wanted to share an answer number 5, and then the last one is 6, and that's it. Answer number 5 is my own suggestion. I don't believe that I'm the first one to say this, though, because it seems to me, but I didn't see it anywhere. So if someone knows someone who said this, I'd rather hear it, but I think it's my own idea. And it starts with a medrash. And you have the medrash on your page, right under Rav Hirsch. The medrash, I'll try to read it all, goes like this. It's Vayikra Rabbah. On our parsha. Ki po'el adam yishalem lo, it's a pasuk in Eov. The handiwork of a person, God will take care of. God will pay you back. Who does that refer to? Says the Medrash, Ze Moshe. Dichtiv. Perek Bet and Shmot. Vayihi bayamim ahem. Vayigdal Moshe. Vayetzei alachav. Vayar besivlotam. Moshe had everything going for him. Wealthy, powerful family, in a safe home. Everything was taken care of. And yet Moshe didn't decide to live in his little ivory tower. He went out and see his brothers. He still considered them. Vayitzei alachav, Vayar besiv lotam, and he had to see their sevel, their burdens. Mara'a, says the Medrash. By the way, this line, with a couple of exceptions, this one line here, is also a Gemara Masechet Sota. I want to say Daf Yud Gimel. I think it's around there, beginning of Sota. Ma ra'a ra'a, you heard this before. Masui ish al isha. Umasui gadol al katan. The only thing that the Medrash says there is it's men on women and women on men, their burdens. But here the Medrash says, a man was doing a woman's job, or a burden of a man was on a woman's was on a woman. Umasui gadol al katan. Umasui bahur al zaken. That's a certain type of psychological and also physical torture that the Mitzrim were bringing on Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe looked to change it. Vishav. Vayashav lahem sivlotam ben ish liisha ben gadol lekatan ben mechul lezaken. Moshe, with his power, his influence, his strength, he fixed it. You, young man, are carrying a tiny load. The old man's carrying a big one. No, switch your loads. You, weaker, older, I'll switch it with a younger, stronger person. Moshe placed the proper workload on the proper person. Line 3, towards the middle. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu atai yashavta libanai sivlotam. You returned, so to speak, maybe regressed, you assisted in the burdens of Bnei Yisrael. Chayecha, I promise, says God, she'ata atid leishev ulefaresh levonai nidrehem. I'm going to give you the zechut to share Parshat Nedari, Parshat Erchin, Perek Chavzayin. Bein ish liisha, bein gadol lekatan, bein machur lezaken, hadahu dichtiv, exactly as it says in our parsha, va'idaber Hashem el Moshe leimor, daber el bnei Yisrael, ish ki yaflilin dor neder be'erkecha nafshot l'Hashem. That's the Medrash. That's the Medrash. You, Moshe, restored the proper burdens. I can carry a load that's appropriate for me. I cannot carry a load that's appropriate for somebody else. And Moshe fixed it. I'm going to give you a great bracha. Not money, not wealth, not power. I'm going to let you teach Torah to Bnei Yisrael, not Shema Yisrael, and not V'yat Lecha Kamocha, Nidarim. What's the connection? So this is what I'd like to share with you. Tell me if you agree, disagree. And this, I think explaining this Medrash will also explain why Erchin comes at the end. You with me? Here we go. I think that when you hear Tochacha, Chavav, or Musar, somebody gets up here and says, you're not acting properly, you're not learning properly, the midot are not proper, not talking in this way properly. I think that there are two opposite ways to respond. One way to respond is, he's talking to somebody else. That's often, maybe more often. He's talking to somebody else. There's a room full of 100 people here. He's not talking to me. I'm pretty good. Everybody else, though, look at the other person. And I Rav Sholem Rosner, who you met, Sholem Rosner, who's the Mara da Asra in Kilat Nofei HaShemesh, he's Hadassah's Rav, Atira's Rav. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. I'm zoche to call him a friend. And he starts off his Shabbos Shuva Drasha every year with the following story. The story goes about Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer wrote a tremendous perush on the Rambam, the Evin HaEzel. He died in 1953. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer learned in Valozhin. He was the Rav of Slutsk. He was friends with Rav Cook. He was the grandfather-in-law of Rav Yehuda Amital. And the father-in-law of Aaron Cutler. Incredible Talmud Chacham. Mrs. Zalman Meltzer, if I got my story right, I hope I have the personalities correct. When I was thinking about this idea, so I wanted to remember, and I went to Rav Rosner this morning after davening. We'd have the zechut of davening every morning together, and I went over to him and I just clarified the story, and I believe I have it straight. But anyway, he heard about this. I think he said the Magid of Yerushalayim, Rav Shalom Shvadran, yeah? Rav Shalom Shvadran was much younger than him, but he was becoming a Magid. So Rav Zalman Meltzer, 40 years older than him, came, sat in the back of the room, and he hears the Magid, Rav Shvadran, Musser, to a group of yeshiva guys, I guess, you're not learning enough, and maybe it's on Bechukotai, and Amelim Batorah, and maybe it's Atzmo Batorah, and Torah has to be here, Kehim Chayenu, Ve'orech Emenu, a room full of 100 people, 200 people. Mrs. Zalman sitting in the back. Anyway, the Musser Smooth is over, and Mrs. Zalman walks over to the Magid. He says, how could you do that? Magid, Mrs. Zalman, what did I do? Rabbi Zalman says, I know that I have things to work on, but why would you share that with everybody? Why would you tell everybody in the yeshiva of all of my problems? If you want to give me critique, you want to give me musar, talk to me privately. Why do you have to say it out loud to everybody? And it took months before Rav Shvadram could convince Rav Zalman. I mean, lahavdil, imagine Rav Aaron Lichtenstein walking into the room when I'm talking to you guys about acting properly at the Shabbos table, which I don't need to tell you, you're wonderful, of course, I'm just using that as a silly example. And afterwards, Rav Aaron coming over to me and saying, I know I'm not the perfect host, a guest, but why'd you have to tell everybody? I think I would crawl under the floor. But that is the way to listen to Tochacha and to listen to Musar. One way that people do is say, not me. What probably happened, and I'm not trying to be motzi laz, so I shouldn't say that, but what may have happened is that there are 101 people in the room, and one person came over and said, oy vey, I really should be doing, and 100 other people said, okay, nice year, what time is dinner? That's what often happens. That's one way that people listen to Tochacha and say, it's not me. As a matter of fact, what's fascinating is the smack, which is the close to the bottom, Sefer Mitzvot Katan, which you have the second to last source, is Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef of Courbayel, France. And he was very influenced by Rav Moshe Mikutzi, who wrote the Sefer Mitzvah Gadol, the more expansive. And he wrote a condensed version, what you and I would call sort of the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, but it's the Kitzer Sefer Mitzvah, or Sefer Mitzvot, so it's called the smack. He has a separate Mitzvah Tet, which Rav Rosner quotes as well, every Shabbat Shuvah Drasha. What's the mitzvah tet? Lamul or lat lev. To remove that barrier of your heart, sh'ne'emar umaltem et orlat levavchem perush, le'ehov et hatochachot, ve'le'ehov mi shiyochichenu, to love somebody and to accept musar, to accept tochacha. That is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to accept Tochacha, appreciate it. So there's one way to listen to Tochacha, I think. One way to listen to Tochacha. And that is, I mean, the wrong way. One way to respond, and that is, it's not me, he's talking about somebody else. And in my mind, I think there's a completely other way to respond, which in my mind is equally incorrect. So either it's not my fault, or it's all my fault. Not exactly what Rabbi Zalman Meltzer did, but all the problems befalling Chas V'Shalom, a certain family, community, God forbid, a nation, God forbid, it's me. And that is not true. Do I have a role? I have a role. But everyone has a role. And so when we talk, and someone gives musar to a group, let's say, Tochacha Perek Chavav, there's two ways to approach it, and neither of them are right. Either the burden that you place on yourself is too light, or the burden that you place on yourself is too heavy. I don't have any obligation to be a shmata, but I, of course, have an obligation to not be a balagaiva. I have to know exactly the things that I'm great at, and exactly the things I need to be worked on. After the Tochacha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, everybody has a value. Everybody has an appropriate value. It's not as great as some people think it is. It's certainly not as low as some people think about themselves. The healthy, healthy balance between self-respect, so to speak, and also self-discipline and recognition that you're not perfect. And perhaps one can suggest that that's why the Arachin came after the Tochacha. And that's why it came as a gift to Moshe, so to speak, after he did the exact thing where shifting burdens appropriately. Your burden is way too heavy. And I've had many people come to my office in both sides of the spectrum for many years already. Someone who, and I always tell people, is many of you have experienced it or other people have experienced it, when someone says, well, I really need to work on, you know, X, I'm really terrible at this. Okay, it's a very good and very healthy and very appropriate to recognize what you're not good at on the condition that you also recognize what you're good at. If you're prepared, and some people can whip this out very fast, if you're prepared to list three things that you're terrible at, that you need work on, that you better be prepared to list three things that you're great at. That there's a reason why you're on this planet, that you worked on it. I'm not talking about something that God gave you. I'm really good at spending money. Well, thank God. Okay, luckily you're able to. That's not what anybody here says. That's not you. I'm a good singer. Most of the time, I told you that story weeks ago, most of the time you didn't work on that. So that you can't, don't say, no, I was used to talk Lashon Hara a lot, and now I really do not. Okay, that's a good thing. Put it on the list. And then, for each one of those, something you need to work on. You need to have a balance. And perhaps that's the Erchin at the end of Sefer Vayikra. I want to end with one last answer. And the last answer comes from the Kutzke Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel of Kutsk. I had the zechut. I shared this in the kitchen upstairs. I was trying to help for supper. When supper came out a little bit late tonight, I ran upstairs and we were waiting for the chicken to finish heating. I told this to Avremi upstairs, the Kutzke Rebbe, and he liked it. His response was, Das geht, something like that, which I think was either that's really good or I don't know what you said. No, Baruch Hashem. So I had the zechut of sharing this idea with him. He hadn't heard it before. The Kutzke Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel of Kutsk. Anybody here from Scarsdale? No. Rav Menachem Mendel's last name was Morgenstern. Rav Menachem Mendel Morgenstern. His son's 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 son is the Rav in Scarsdale now. Rabbi Jonathan Morgenstern. Some of you know him from camp? No? Okay. Anyway, the Kutzke Rebbe's answer is as follows. And it was, I heard it first through a mashal, or through a story, I should say, told by Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, who is the grandson of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. So, Mordechai Kamenetsky is telling over the idea of the Kutzker, and why Arachin comes at the end, what this will conclude. But Mordechai Kamenetsky tells the story, which some of you who went to Poland recently may have heard, about the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Kloisenberger is named Rabbi Yekusiel Yehuda Halberstam, who died in 1994. Almost 20 years ago. And you should know, he survived the war, but not before his wife, his parents, all his uncles and aunts, many, many of his followers, and his entire family, 11 children, all murdered in Auschwitz. He happened to have been selected by Mengele Yemach Shemo to go to whichever side was towards work, whatever, right, left, and he worked. And he ended up coming to Israel. He ended up re-founding the Sanzer Hasidim. Sanzer Hasidim are huge in America, but also huge in Israel. They're based, much of them, in Netanya, but other places as well. He literally rebuilt Sanzer Hasidim. I'll quote Avremi twice in one sentence, but Avremi's wife is a Sanzer Chassid. Yes. His wife is a Sanzer Chassid. No, the Kloisenberger started and continued Sanzer Chassidim.
So he married someone with a different
husband. Anyway, so Rabbi Kusiel Yehuda Halberstam. I don't know if it happened in Auschwitz or on the way, or at some point some Nazis found him, a rabbi, Mechubad, and they had to bring him down. And so they started taunting him, and they started poking him and pushing him. This is the Rav. This is the Rav of the community pushing him and poking him and tearing his beard. And one of the Nazi officers there jokingly said, as he's being embarrassed and humiliated, "New Rebbe, new Rabbi, you still feel like you're the chosen people?" So Kloisenberger very firmly, strongly says, "Yes, I do. Certainly. Avada. Of course we're the chosen people." Well, the Nazi did not get the answer that he wanted, and so he took the butt of his rifle, bashed him in the head. The Kloisenberger falls to the ground, dirt, bleeding. A few of the Nazis gathered in and beat him some more, kicked him. And now the Nazi, with even more fervor, says, "Okay, Rabbi, okay, now you're the chosen people. You still feel like you're the chosen people, chosen people." And the Rebbe, with the blood coming out of his head and still on the ground, looks up and he says, "Avada! Of course we're the chosen people." At this point, the officer lost all control, continued beating him and kicking the Rebbe, and said, "You stupid Jew! You lie here on the ground, beaten and humiliated. What makes you think you are part of the chosen people?" And then, I'm just reading a quote, and then, from the depth of humiliation and dirtied with the mud on the ground, the Rebbe said, "As long as we are not the ones kicking and beating innocent people, we can call ourselves chosen." And the Kutzker Rebbe, 100 years before the story even happened, says the same idea. You went through 26 prakim, and unfortunately you saw it with your own eyes. 26 prakim of how service to God, how I operate in the mikdash, how I daven, how I serve God, and it is so easy, as you saw with your own eyes, to forget the value of each and every single person. Says the Kutzker Rebbe, "Do you know why, after 26 prakim, do you know why we have Archin? Because the Jews, it's very easy to begin losing hope. It's easy to begin ourselves to lose context. And sometimes we forget individuals and we say, my service to God is more important." And said the Kutzker, "Chas v'shalom. Archin tells us, even after everything, and even after the terrible depths that, God forbid, Bnei Israel might be sent to, God forbid, we still recognize, even in our lowest of lows, the value, the special value of every single Jew." And that's a lesson for us as well. We don't have any of these problems, thank God, and Hashem, Emirat Hashem, will continue to grant us that kind of safety and security. But sometimes when we have that safety and security, we forget it even more. Okay, so somebody gets hurt, but I'm serving God, I'm such a good Jew. No, every Jew, every person has value. Everything has value. Every item on this planet has a value. And I look at a person as being special. And even lahavdil animals, what can I do to serve God? With that, or with my property, or with my real estate, or with my animals, whatever it is. Everything has a value, and even more so, infinitely more so, every human has value. Perhaps we can take a lesson from Parshat Bechukotai to walk away from Sefer Vayikra, Chazak, Chazak, Vanitchazek. We can become even stronger and stronger than this last idea of valuing every single person, or the idea of valuing tochacha, when someone cares about me enough and wants to help me and wants to assist me, I listen to them. I love them for caring about me. Maybe Rev Hirsch, we can also walk away by reminding ourselves, I'm doing what God wants for me. All the extras are beautiful and welcome and lovely, but remind myself that there are extras and all the other answers as well. And Amir Hashem, if we do keep to these messages and all the other messages on this Parsha, Amir Hashem will never ever see the bad parts of the Tochacha and only the Brachot. Ve'natati gishmechem be'itam, Amir Hashem will be zocha to Shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu ourselves and for our families and for all of Klal Yisrael. Mm-hmm.